WTAW News Time is 5 minutes after 8. It's 49 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, your one-stop steel supply store on Highway 21 East in Bryan. Go to pioneerboys.com. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. The newly reorganized Bryan City Council has overturned a decision made last election day to buy land between Lake Bryan and a state corrections institution for a new youth sports complex. Monday, the council unanimously voted to terminate the agreement. Mayor Andrew Nelson says they're still committed to the project, but not at this location at this time.
The perception of the council certainly was that we were buying it for market price, not at below market price. There were restrictions that we weren't comfortable with. Access was an issue with the property. And so I think we just want to measure twice on this.
The purchase price for the 61 acres was $738,000. Its location, south and west of the intersection of Harvey Mitchell Parkway and Sandy Point Road, was about 1 mile south of the J.W. Hamilton pre-release unit and 5 miles east of Lake Bryan. The council vote, which cost the city $100, followed a recommendation by the Parks and Recreation Board not to purchase the land. 8 months of perseverance paid off for the private citizen wanting a change in College Station's regulations that now allows cemetery footmarkers. Last May, a citizen's request was denied by the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. That led the citizen to a council meeting last July, then a meeting last October that included Director David Schmitz to consider allowing footstones in cemeteries.
We found that there was actually a discrepancy in that, and so staff got back with legal and reviewed the cemetery ordinance and came up with the changes you see before you today that would align the footstone requirements with the headstone requirements.
Mayor Carl Mooney made a point about the citizen's request before the ordinance change was approved.
I also wanted to demonstrate that council and staff do respond when citizens come forward with a concern.
The council's unanimous vote, which followed a unanimous recommendation of the advisory board, allows a foot marker when family or double monuments are placed on a minimum of 2 adjoining standard spaces. Texas A&M President Michael Young issued a statement yesterday afternoon regarding President Trump's travel ban. Young says all A&M students, faculty, and staff from all countries are here permissibly. Young says the university continues to reach out to those they know to be affected, and attorneys within the A&M system are assisting in identifying what Young says are helpful resources that can be made available to those affected. You can read Young's entire statement online at WTAW.com. A College Station woman has been arrested for taking $18,000 of jewelry from a Bryan home last September. According to Bryan police, the items 18-year-old Abigail Sharp admitted to taking was sold at a local pawn shop. Sharp remains in jail in lieu of a $30,000 bond. United Way of the Brazos Valley continues to invite groups and employers to host presentations as the annual community campaign continues.
We are trending a little bit lower than we had been hoping to at this point. Not terribly. We still have time to rebound and reach our $700,000 goal for our community campaign.
President Allison Prince says the state employees' charitable campaign, which ended last October, finished with almost $570,000.
We barely didn't make our goal. By $200, we missed our goal.
More information is online at uwbv.org. In Austin, state lawmakers are focusing on overhauling the Child and Protective Services Agency.
House Speaker Joe Strauss's bipartisan CPS task force rolled out some legislation as the state Senate Finance Committee debated the CPS budget. That included sharp words from Committee Chair Jane Nelson to the Department of Family and Protective Services Commissioner Hank Whitman.
Your agency gets a total of $3.8 billion. If I had my way, I would put all $3.8 billion into finding these kids and protecting them. If we don't do that, what else is important?
The House task force believes CPS would be more effective as a standalone agency. In Austin, Chris Fox, TSN News.
Also from CPS, the Dallas Morning News reports hundreds of veteran employees say they have been excluded from emergency pay raises. 7,200 other employees received a $12,000 raise, but agency leaders restricted eligibility in such a way that omitted 320 others. The head of the state's Family Protective Services Agency is expected to ask lawmakers for an additional $1.2 million to pay the others. And Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick followed up last week's school choice rally outside the Capitol by filing filing legislation yesterday with a message for House Speaker Joe Strauss.
Governor Abbott was very passionate last week on the steps of the Capitol. He wants a bill to sign. Now, our first task is passing it out of the Senate, and I'm asking the House to give this bill and those parents a fair shot.
Last session, the Senate passed a school choice bill that never made it out of the House committee. State Representative Larry Taylor's bill would establish both education savings account and tax credit scholarship programs. WTAW News Time is 10 minutes past 8. It's 49 degrees. You can text us at 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe. One more look at news this morning at 8:30, or you can always go to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
As the Brazos Valley's largest supplier of metal building components, pipe, and steel, Pioneer stocks a complete line of metal building and carport packages, from structural framework like I-beam and square tubing to sheet metal, trim packages, roll-up doors, and insulation. Pioneer is your one-stop shop. Metal buildings and carports are Pioneer Steel's specialty. Pioneer Steel, Highway 21 East. Call 979-589-2333. Or on the web at pioneerboys.com.
810, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Infomaniacs, we are hanging out here in the WC Tractor Studio, your award-winning local Kubota and New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Let's do some weather. It's sponsored by Skyline Communications. In business for your business since 1981 with two-way radios and paging service. Call Skyline Communications, 775-2929.
High pressure will bring us sunshine yet again. System sitting over the Gulf of Mexico with it off to our east. We're going to be warm. We're up to 70 to 75 today. Overnight clear. Lows will drop back to 50 to 55. Tomorrow, mixture of clouds and sunshine. Highs 75 to 80. It's partly to mostly cloudy and 55 to 60 tomorrow night. Clouds Thursday. There could be a few showers. Temperatures Thursday, 65 to near 70. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you are, about 20 minutes away from talking to State Senator Charles Schwertner about all that. That's in the middle of the news today. That's for sure, all the hearings they had yesterday about Child Protective Services. So I didn't want to wait till the end of the program because I thought this was significant enough to talk about right now.
All right.
Because it was on this date in 1992 that Keith Witt of Amarillo cleaned not one, not two, but three standard 42.5-inch by 47-inch office windows, okay, 42.5 by 47, which is, you know, I guess average.
All right. Yeah.
With your squeegee that is 11 inches, did that in 10 seconds, three windows in 10 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a quick squeegeer.
Because, you know, and they do that in those directions. You know, they swirl it around, and I you know, you think it's art, but there's probably some function involved.
Definitely
in that.
Definitely some technique, sure. Yeah.
And probably, I don't want to go. I'll say something insensitive. But, you know, we're having the windows cleaned here. And it would be interesting to know. I mean, it's been going on for a couple of weeks, and they have to bring in gear from out of town,
right?
Because it's five-storied
and
it's mirrored glass,
harnesses
all the way around. And see, have you watched them? Have you?
No.
See, I haven't either.
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't know if they just kind of up and down and up, or if they really go.
I don't think
this
they're doing
thing.
This technique that this guy used.
Well, it's not taking 10 seconds a window. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the reason I'd like for you to because it happened again. He's from Amarillo.
Okay.
It happened at the convention that took place in San Antonio in 1992 of the, you ready, International Window Cleaning Association. So can we see if there's anything on their website, the International Window Cleaning Association? You know, is their convention always here in late January? Is it in warm climates? You know, if we could find an information officer, a flack for the International Window Cleaning Association.
Oh, wow, the IWCA.
I can't believe it's a thing.
All right, okay.
The International Window Cleaning Association.
Does it say when their convention is?
Oh, yes, it does.
Okay.
It is February 8th through 11th.
Coming up.
Yep, and it is in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, yep. warm weather,
yeah. Yep, it's the slogan is Shine in the Valley of the Sun.
Oh, yeah. Now, does it have an About Us drop-down tab or anything like that?
Oh, sure. It has a history. It has, let's see, they were formed by a group of window cleaners in the late 80s in an effort to promote safety and education as well as to enhance professionalism throughout the industry.
Because you hate non-professional window cleaners.
Of course, of course. Each year, they hold an annual convention and trade show for professionals working in all facets of the window cleaning industry, from high-rise and route residential window cleaners to those who manufacture goods and services for window cleaning.
Now, I forgot where I was, but I was talking to a lady within the last 10 days because her husband owns a window cleaning company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were talking about the weather, and when it's cloudy and kind of yucky, people don't think about getting their windows cleaned nearly as often as when it's sunny, which would make sense.
Sure.
So that's... I don't know. We may have to research that a little bit. Yep. I kind of want to know why you do that swirly swoopy thing.
Technique.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got to do it from top to bottom.
Sure, sure.
Whenever you squeegee,
you got that gravity thing happening.
It drips. Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course you don't want to have to come back and clean it. There's probably nothing worse when you're a window cleaner than to have to come back with your cloth and clean a drip that you missed.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so
I've tried to whip it around like that, and I just end up getting that stuff all over me, and it's gross.
Yeah, exactly. And so again, but see, now here's the deal. All right, when it comes to squeegees, because I have to say that is one thing that I have splurged on to get a quality squeegee.
Oh, yeah?
Basically to clean the windshields, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, you go on a trip, and you got bugs, right? And the bugs get all over the windshield. And so what you do is you get your sponge that's got the rough side on it. And you don't have to use Windex. Get like soap and water and just clean it and scrunch it like that. But I think you find that generally the squeegees that you get at the auto parts stores are pretty lame.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to maybe like the housewares department, you could get a good squeegee. But see, I went to a Criswell's. I went to the cleaning supply place.
Oh, yeah.
I got like a brass one.
Oh.
That has the little inserts that you put in. Yeah.
Well, if you go to this website, Scott, they have online courses. You can become a member.
Really?
You can do some research. They've got blogs.
Wait, they have online courses?
They do. They have videos and resources for your window cleaning business.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity, Scott?
No, that's outstanding. I just want to have an explanation of why they use that technique. That's all. If we can figure that out or find somebody who can tell us that, then
maybe we should set up an interview.
Yeah, we might do that.
With the IWCA president.
Yeah, we could do that.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, me? Really? I don't care about window cleaning.
Yeah, but you know, you're like the news girl.
And then if you decide, if you've got like double-hung windows, you know, where, you know, you can unlatch them and you can clean the outside from inside the house. You've seen those before, where they, you know, kind of drop down. Yeah, once you start that, you start thinking about how many windows you have in your house, and how it really is a gigantic hassle.
I cannot tell you the last time I've cleaned a window.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. It's just it's generally something you just as soon not do, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're only going to do it if you're forced to because something splatted up against it, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If you've killed a fly and you need to clean the windshield.
Or if that's happened many times. Yeah. Like, okay, I can't take it anymore.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is kind of interesting right here. Says 817.
You're right. I'm glad we did that at this point in the show and didn't wait till the end.
Yeah.
We would have ran out of time.
We wouldn't have been able to get to that, the whole thing.
Although I would like to get Mr. Downs' take on this.
Well, and the other thing is we may, I guess we could probably call Keith if Keith is still in the business in Amarillo and see what his technique or secret is.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe he knows why they do the thing.
Yeah. Could be, hello.
I wonder if they offer memberships to the Urban Outdoorsman Squeegee Guys.
Well, I don't know. You know, that's right. That's
a good question.
Do they have maybe like an associate member where you don't do it professionally, do it some?
I have already X'd out of that window. I am so sorry.
Don't worry about it.
I apologize.
Okay.
You weren't going to look at that for the rest of the day?
Brad,
I think Chelsea's trying to tell us it's time to move on. All right, here we go.
We have spent about 15 minutes on window cleaning.
We have. All right. Tasting Room. Tasting Room is a wine club that is changing how wine is sold. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying, laws are different in different states, so this may not be something you can take advantage of in Texas. I have no idea, but we'll trudge on. Hello. Hey.
All right.
Well, we'd have stayed with it. I mean, I know Chelsea's not happy about it, but if we had something else to add.
I like the wine story. I think you're speaking our language now.
Hello?
Yeah, about the way that they wash windows.
Yes.
They do that because it's one continuous motion without stopping.
Okay, but how do they, I mean, how do they know exactly where to come back around so that they don't miss a spot? You know what I'm saying?
Practice makes perfect.
Practice,
is that what it is?
Scott,
do you have personal? Do you have personal experience here, or how? Do you?
I've washed a few windows in my day.
Okay. do you use the squeegee thing? That's the only way to do it. I've heard
in a
crumple
professional
up.
Capacity, yes.
Oh wait, now you have done this in a professional capacity.
For a short time.
Wow. How short a time?
Maybe 6 months.
Okay. You'd had enough of that, huh? What was
enough of that.
What was the linchpin that made you decide you didn't want to do that anymore?
Just something better came along.
Okay. Was it here in town or was it someplace else?
It was someplace else.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing. It doesn't matter what we talk about. You understand that?
People, someone is listening.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's awesome.
And they're listening. That's right. They are. So there. Thank you for being with us this morning.
One continuous motion.
Yeah, it's
less pressure on the elbow.
Efficient.
There you are.
Yeah, yep. It's efficient.
I just made that up.
Yeah, I hear you. But you sounded so authoritative when you said that.
Yeah, I would have believed
it. I am an infomaniac.
That's right, after all. Okay, Tasting Room is a wine club that is changing how wine is sold. When you sign up for Tasting Room, the company sends you a 6-bottle tasting kit. Log on to the site, and you're guided through an interactive tasting in which you pit the wines against one another. You simply click on the wines that you prefer in the head-to-head matchups, and based on your ratings, Tasting Room makes informed wine selections for you. Soon thereafter, you'll receive a 12-bottle case of different wines tailored to match your preferences.
Hmm.
The club ships you a case of wine as often as you'd like for about $12 a bottle. Every bottle comes with a satisfaction guarantee. So if you ever receive a wine that doesn't match your taste preference, Tasting Room will replace it or issue a wine credit to purchase another bottle. And again, Tasting Room is what it's called. Don't know if you can do that in Texas or not. Not sure.
Huh.
But
sounds
I also
cool.
I also hear the folks on First News.
Cameron Hughes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I couldn't remember the name of that. They apparently buy extra wine from vineyards because they don't want to have too much product out on the market because it would lower their price, take the pressure off their price. And so they do that and slap a little label on it. And I guess a 9-year-old writes on there what kind of wine it is.
Well, right.
Yeah, they don't tell you where it comes from.
Yeah,
apparently.
Exactly. Yeah, but they do that. And again, just all sorts of ways to be able to market things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Print books are increasing slightly while ebook sales continue to fall sharply.
Oh.
Which means for the first time in more than 4 years, print books are outselling ebooks.
Huh.
Couple of reasons. Price of the ebooks has gone up. Fewer people are using dedicated e-readers. Even people buying and reading ebooks are doing it on their phone or tablets and not their Kindles or Nooks or what have you. Now, Mr. Downs and I were discussing that just the other day, I guess actually a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about different kind of readers. I don't have a reader right now. I mean, I've used one before, and I've used my wife's, and I just didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I just like the book. You know?
I have one as well,
yeah.
And I have been buying print books lately.
Yeah.
Like within the last 6 or 7 months, I've done nothing but buy print books and read those.
Okay, see, that's it. You're falling right into what they're talking about right here, is that has come back. And I find that fascinating. I can remember going to the National, I think, Book Conference or whatever it's called. It was a big deal. It used to be National Booksellers Conference in Chicago. It was a really, really big deal. We probably went, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And even then, I said, because that's when my wife had a lot of books in her store, and that's when I said, you know, this electronic thing is going to catch on, and eventually this will be something different. Well, you know, if you're talking about children's books, it's a little bit different kind of situation because you do want a child to hold the book, and of course they make them out of cloth if they decide to cram it in their mouth and everything would be okay. But and of course an ebook you can't do that, but it happened, and of course Barnes & Noble got into doing their little Nook thing and all that, and then Kindle was out there, but slowly but surely, how did things walk back?
Well, the other thing is, they're now getting so advanced that you can get the internet on them, you can get magazines, and you can get so much more than just books. You can stream movies. So it's almost like people are, oh, I have a Kindle, but I use it to read magazines and stream movies.
Hello?
I'm not necessarily buying books.
Hey, yes.
Yeah, the SJWs will tell you that the selling books is up because of the book burnings under the new commission.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay, sure, they will.
Now, another thing that crossed my mind was when I'm done reading a book, I'm done. I don't usually reread books.
I understand.
And so I can at least sell a print book to either someone or to somewhere like Half Price or you know, back somewhere, I can make maybe a little bit money back, a little bit more money back on it. But once you buy it online, you can't sell it back.
Now, one of the again, in defense of the e-reader, one of the good features is that on some models, you know, if there's a word, you can touch it and the dictionary comes up.
I love that. I do. I will say I miss that feature when I used my Nook.
Which, again, now that's an immediate gratification thing. You can always read with a little dictionary next to you.
Unless it totally makes no sense and I really need to understand the word, I just skim over it.
Can you do that? Can you do that dictionary thing with the Kindle app on your phone? Because it sounds like these readers are basically becoming phones without phone capabilities.
Yeah, you may well be. Well, and also you get bigger print, too, you know, if you need to do that.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've seen people read on their phone.
Oh, really?
I just can't imagine doing that.
It would drive me crazy.
I got the 7 Plus, so it's basically like a phablet.
Okay.
That might work.
That could work. But again, we've got a story. I don't know if we'll do it today or not, but why sometimes you get queasy while you're reading and a car's moving or you're in motion. That has something to do with focus and what that does in your ears. But nonetheless, I don't know if I could do that on my phone for very long.
I will say it does make it nice if maybe some people like to read more than one book at a time.
Okay.
And so if you have an e-reader, you can carry obviously multiple books in your possession without being weighed down by
space.
Obviously pluses and minuses there, but at least for the time being, kind of interesting to have a small resurgence when it comes to print books.
All right,
it's 826.
Jennifer Kishenko with your money now. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos says the e-commerce giant is working with lawmakers and state officials to explore legal options to counter President Trump's executive order on immigration. In an email to staff, Bezos said the company had reached out to members of Congress to explore legislative options. The company's public policy team in Washington, D.C. has also reached out to senior administration officials to make clear its opposition. Amazon's also expected to support a lawsuit filed against the administration by the state of Washington. 20 banks with less than $250 billion in assets will be freed from the subjective portion of the Fed's annual stress tests under changes a central bank laid out yesterday. Banks including Northern Trust Corporation and American Express will no longer have to comply with the qualitative half of the Fed's stress tests, which take a close look at a firm's risk management systems. Snap Incorporated plans to list its highly anticipated initial public offering on the New York Stock Exchange, a big win for the big board. That's your money now.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $28 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-244-6060. That's 1-800-244-6060. 1-800-244-6060 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's the most diabolical telephone scam ever devised. It's so incredibly dangerous that if you answer the phone and someone says, "Hello, can you hear me?" don't answer. Just hang up immediately. Kim Commando with your Tuesday Digital Consumer Tech Update. Police in numerous states are alerting citizens to the Can You Hear Me scam. When asked, unsuspecting victims automatically say yes. But on the other end, criminals record the victim's yes response. They then edit the recording to make it appear that the victim agreed to authorize all kinds of ridiculous charges to their phone, utility, or credit card. Scammers also use these questions. Are you the lady or man of the house? Do you pay the household telephone bills? Or the ever-popular, are you the homeowner? But the most popular question now is, can you hear me? Don't worry about coming off as impolite. Protect yourself. Don't answer. Just hang up. Get all the breaking tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's KOMANDO.
Hey, honey, you want to go out for dinner?
I can't. I'm stuck on hold with the stupid cable company trying to get another rate reduction.
Didn't you already do that?
I do it every 6 months. They just keep raising our rates. I'm done. It's time to cut the cable. With CableGone.com.
Are you sick and tired of being gouged by your cable company? Sitting on hold, endlessly waiting for customer service?
Your call is important to us.
Paying exorbitant bills, but getting fewer and fewer channels?
Please hold for the next available representative.
National radio host and USA Today columnist Kim Komando here. Millions of Americans have found a better way to get their favorite channels for free. The solution? CableGone.com. Here's what the cable companies don't want you to know. Most top shows and major sports are available now without expensive cable or satellite.
Hey, honey, you want to go out for dinner?
Sure, let's go out for steak with all the money we saved with CableGone.com.
Learn more now at CableGone.com.
The Kim Komando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:30. It's 49 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning. I'm Chelsea Reber. Texas A&M's president is not taking a public position on President Trump's travel ban. Michael Young issued a statement yesterday saying in part that the ban, quoting, has understandably ignited concerns within our university community. Young says A&M is working with their congressional delegation for assistance so that everyone affected by this order can continue their work without disruption or delay. And attorneys within the A&M system are assisting in identifying what Young says are helpful resources that can be made available to those affected. You can read Young's entire statement online at WTAW.com. The Bryan City Council has changed its mind about a proposed youth sports complex on the west side of town. Following a recommendation by the Parks and Recreation Board, the council Monday unanimously voted to terminate the $738,000 purchase of 61 acres of land south and west of the intersection of Sandy Point Road and Harvey Mitchell Parkway. Mayor Andrew Nelson says the council learned they were being charged full market price for land that had restrictions they were not comfortable with.
It's a flat type lot. We had concerns about the access into and out of the lot for sure. And we want to be able to, you know, if we buy the property, we want to have it free and clear and be able to do what we want to do with the property. So if we're going to pay market rates on it, we want to make sure we're in the very best location.
Nelson says the council remains interested in building youth fields. At the last College Station City Council meeting, Mayor Carl Mooney acknowledged the endurance of a private citizen who wanted changes in College Station's regulations on cemetery markers.
This was during Here Visitors. It was not on the council agenda at the time. And so we had a citizen who took advantage of that opportunity, and we moved forward with it.
After a citizen's request to allow cemetery foot markers was denied by the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board last May, he went to the council in July. That led to a meeting last October involving staff that included Director David Schmitz. That resulted in recommended changes to the cemetery ordinance. The council's unanimous vote allows a cemetery foot marker when family or double monuments are placed on a minimum of two adjoining standard spaces. With the holidays in the rearview mirror, United Way of the Brazos Valley continues its annual community campaign.
We're aiming to raise another $700,000, so we're just short of that right now, or just behind where we were anticipating we would be at this point. So it's not too late to host a workplace campaign or make a corporate contribution or make an individual gift through our website.
President Allison Prince says the state employees charitable campaign, which ended last October, just barely missed its goal.
By $200, we missed our goal. So, but we raised $570,000 through that.
On February 11th, or 211 Day, United Way employees are holding their annual garage sale fundraiser outside their offices on Southwest Parkway. And last September, Bryan police received a report of $18,000 of jewelry taken from a home. Last Friday, a College Station woman was arrested. According to BPD, 18-year-old Abigail Sharp admitted to the theft and selling the items at a local pawn shop. An attempt to recover the property was not successful. As of Monday afternoon, Sharp was still in jail in lieu of a $30,000 bond. WTAW News Time is 8:34. It's 49 degrees. You can text us any time of the day, 979-695-1620. More news anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Schulte Roofing is the home of the bulletproof roof.
Hi, I'm David Schulte. At Schulte Roofing, we're not the best because we said it. We're the best because you did. Voted Best Roofing Contractor in the Brazos Valley for 7 straight years and a proud member of the Better Business Bureau with an A-plus rating. Call us today and experience our award-winning service. Schulte Roofing, home of the Bulletproof Roof Guarantee.
Schulte Roofing, the home of the Bulletproof Roof.
How's that kitchen remodel coming along?
I haven't found a reliable contractor and have no idea where to start.
What about HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
Home Advisor. They match you to pre-screened and top-rated pros for any kind of home project. You can even check pricing and book appointments online.
What's the catch?
No catch. Home Advisor is completely free to use.
Really? I'll check it out. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Good morning, it's 8:35. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you by Anchor Foundation Repair, the leader in foundation repair for more than 30 years. In addition to fixing slabs, they also do polyurethane concrete raising. More information, go to anchorfoundationrepair.net. Here's some numbers.
High pressure over the Gulf of Mexico will stay in control of our weather today. Lots of sunshine. It remains mild. Temperatures will reach 70 to 75 later this afternoon. We should be clear through the overnight, 50 to 55. Partial sunshine and warmer tomorrow, highs 75 to 80. Tomorrow night, the clouds on the increase, lows 55 to 60. Lots of clouds and cooler Thursday with a chance for a few showers. Highs Thursday, 65 to 70. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
8:35, News Talk 1620 WTAW. It's Tuesday. We'll head over to Austin. State Senator Charles Swertner joins us this morning. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Let's talk first of all about the hearings yesterday, which was front and center in our newscast for what's coming out of Austin. So folks understand, you are in charge of basically looking over the Department of Family and Protective Services. You had Hank Whitman, the commissioner, in, and I know you were really not pleased with some of the things that you've heard from them because you had some benchmarks that they haven't met yet.
Well, that's right. You know, this is about the children, and I think everybody on that dais is rightly concerned about the operations and functions of CPS. And those functions include investigating abuse and neglect allegations of children, and as well as placing them in safe foster homes and trying to find permanency if they have to be removed from a family with adoption or with reunification with family members or with their family. So, the commissioner mentioned that the time it takes to evaluate priority one cases have not dramatically improved. There's still over 400 children that were priority one cases that had not been seen based upon their statutory time frame. So that's just not acceptable, and we need to do a better job. And myself, as well as Chair Nelson, we're both quite concerned about some of the testimony regarding the functions and capabilities of the agency.
Well, I know the State of the State address will be today, and you have asked the governor to make this a priority.
I have, yes. And, not only he knows what exactly he's going to say during the State of the State, but we'll all find out here at about 11 o'clock. But I have high hopes and expectations that CPS will be part of his emergency items that he'll announce.
Now, for their part, the House of Representatives kind of has a different view. Tell me where you see the vast differences are between the way the House thinks the CPS should be handled and how you feel it should be done in the Senate.
Well, I wouldn't say they have a vastly different view. It's just there's lots of ideas floating around the Capitol currently, and everybody has their own perspective from being a legislator, from maybe personal experience with the CPS system, from talking to interested parties, from talking to families, and obviously those children that were in our foster care system. And they fashion bills based upon their perspective. And it's important as chair of the Health Committee on the Senate side to make sure that we fashion an appropriate policy and statutory framework for CPS and DFPS to work within and correct some of the problems with the agency and get it right.
State Senator Charles Schwerner joining us this morning. And I know that a whole lot of people in our audience don't really understand this because it's not part of their world. And we don't want anybody really to be in a situation where their child is in danger in any way. But it's your job as an elected official, as chairman, to make sure that that's taken care of. Now, the process is first that there needs to be some investigation. Why is this child in this situation and what can be done? Is that fair to say?
That's right. There's a statewide intake system that takes in hundreds of thousands of potential complaints and allegations of abuse and neglect, and then we have to look at each one of those, and they're prioritized. There's priority one and priority two, and priority ones are supposed to be seen and investigated within 24 hours. Those are the highest priority cases.
Again, within 24 hours.
Okay. Within 24 hours. Yeah. Priority two, within 72 hours. And we need to make sure we have the manpower, but also the leadership and the framework within the agency and the culture of responsibility within the agency to make sure it gets done.
Now, you've authored Senate Bill 11, which is talking about these changes. How would these steps from investigation on to some sort of a permanent situation and then on through adoption, how would that be changed or modified under Senate Bill 11?
Well, first of all, it sets up its own special investigative division within CPS and moves residential treatment centers. Right now, they can actually, a complaint comes in regarding a residential treatment center, it can be up to 5 days for those situations, but I think those should also be within 24 hours as well. So it highlights and elevates investigations even further than what is currently in statute. We have already done a lot of work regarding adding manpower, special investigators, and more caseworkers, and we continue to look at how we can effectively train those caseworkers, mentor those caseworkers, and prepare them to do their job in an efficient manner and responsible manner.
And likewise, will that investigative unit share information with the other people as we move on down the road?
Well, yes. There's been a movement towards sharing information with our law enforcement agencies for those children that we can't seem to find. Law enforcement is often very good at finding individuals, in this case children, that need to be found. And last October when we had our hearing, and Commissioner Whitman announced that there were a number of priority one children that could not be found. We enlisted the help of DPS and local law enforcement. And I think I know those numbers went down and now they've creeped back up. How can we permanently change the structure to enlist law enforcement to assist us in finding children that need to be found?
Senator Charles Schwerner joining us from Austin. Finally, Dallas Morning News had a report today that some Dallas area veteran CPS employees were not able to benefit in any way through the additional funding. Your thoughts about that situation?
Well, there's an exceptional item for those individuals that were inadvertently left out. I think it's appropriate to evaluate all those individuals that are either investigators or supervisors that are on the front lines that should be compensated and should receive that salary adjustment. It is something that I'm aware of and that we're looking at.
We just wanted to spend a few minutes with this so the listeners understand, because it always ends up the worst-case scenario. You hear about a terrible situation that's happened, and a child has died while this is going on, and you want to know what's being done about it. Well, I think the senator is doing a lot of work on this, and people need to understand that. Let's talk about Senate Bill 3. That was rolled out yesterday afternoon. That has to do with school choice. Give me a few of your thoughts there.
Well, there are some children trapped in failing schools, and those children sometimes have special needs. They're autistic or have intellectual development disabilities that are not being met by that school district. So Senate Bill 3, authored by Senator Larry Taylor, is a priority bill of the Senate, and I think it gives options for those children that need that extra help. It sets up a scholarship opportunity so that the families of those children on a needs-based criteria can avail themselves of the opportunity to find a quality education that's correct for that child. I think it's really a civil rights issue for that children and for those children and for those families to be able to find a quality education for their child that's appropriate for them.
So the hearings yesterday on CPS, the state of the state today, what else of import that you'd like to share with us before we chat again next Tuesday?
Well, we continue to work through the budget. You know, if CPS is announced as an emergency item, I plan on having, as I've always stated, the first hearing, the first bill on the first hearing, which would be Thursday. So that would be this week if the governor announces it as an emergency item, which I hope and expect and believe that he will do so. We continue to work our way through the budget. I think the House finally will get their committees assigned this week. I hope so, because they need to get going, because we are far apart from a budgetary standpoint. We're $5.3 billion of general revenue between the Senate budget, which is much more fiscally conservative right now than the House budget. But, of course, it takes both chambers to pass a budget and the governor to sign it. And it has to be within the biennial revenue estimate by the comptroller. So we got a lot of work to do regarding budgeting.
Well, and you were in the House. Is it unusual for the House committee assignments to not be made before the State of the State address?
It's usually the very end of January, the very first of February, and you know that's the thing about the House. They tend to start a little bit slower because they have to elect a speaker. Speaker has to reflect on the, you know, they have a number of different committees compared to the Senate. The Senate doesn't have the same amount of turnover, so we only had two new members out of 31. So we can get going quite a bit faster because Lieutenant Governor's, you know, obviously been elected, and so he can appoint committees from day one, and we can get going on hearing testimony regarding the issues. So
sure.
It's just a different way of handling it, and, you know, it works out in the end. We have 140 days to accomplish the work of the people of Texas, and I fully anticipate that we'll do so.
Plenty to be done. State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us on Tuesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. As always, we appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you. Look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye. 8:45. Let's turn our attention to local things. Glenn Brewer here this morning from the Chamber. How are you today?
Good morning, Scott.
You got stuff going on?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping I'm not a little late. You know, I was driving in this morning, and I got the urge to pull over and wash my windows in my car.
Yeah.
And I had some problems, some squeegee issues.
Strangest thing. Yes, yeah, yes.
A lot of it ended up in my shoes.
We do what we can to help you out through life skills.
So anyway, but I'll tell you what, and it's interesting to hear the senator. You know, the Chamber is going to have a delegation, about 50-plus people, next week, Monday and Tuesday, in Austin. We're going to visit with Senator Schwertner, both of our representatives, Cassell and Rainey, and every other state rep and senator in the Capitol. We will have someone at their office delivering them our state legislative action plan, telling them what a local business in Bryan-College Station wants to see in the coming legislature. So that'll be interesting, and we appreciate their help because they also helped us put that together. But on a little more fun news.
Yeah, fun. Let's have some fun.
We're getting into the month of February. It's coming right around the corner, and we've got a business after hours in February, and this is kind of a new place I know everybody's going to want to go to on the 16th. It's the Ranch Harley-Davidson.
Oh, hey.
5:30 to 7:30. Our business after hours are free. They got a lot of fun things out there, some toys, I believe, that we'll be able to play with. So we want everybody to come out on the 16th to the Ranch Harley-Davidson, bring some business cards, and get ready to network and have fun. Then on Tuesday, February the 21st, is one of our signature events, Taste of Aggieland.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be at the Brazos County Expo, 5 to 8. General admission is $30. We'll have probably at least 30 local restaurants. You can walk around, sample the items from. There's going to be a prime dining experience this time, $100 for a three-course chef-prepared meal inside of the Taste of Aggieland.
Oh, man.
A lot of different options. Go to our website, and you can learn all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then toward the end of the month, it's not too early to talk about our Community Impact
that
Awards.
That chef isn't like you just putting on a white hat, is it?
It's not me or Royce.
Okay.
Either one of
all
us.
Right.
We're going to stay away from
people
the food.
Who really
it's
do
gonna
that.
Be, I know
okay.
Chef Tay is one of the chefs
right.
out there, and it'll be a very – they're going to have wine pairing, Scott.
Okay,
you will
good.
Love it.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Go
you
ahead,
will
please.
Love it.
I will. Okay.
Jackie will love it anyways. And then after that, by the time we sober up, we can go to the Community Impact Awards luncheon on the 28th. That will be at the Phelps Event Center, and that's where we award awards to our local minority-owned business owners mm-hmm. for what they've done in the community. This year's winners are Barbie Patterson with Patterson Architects, Catherine Kleeman with Spirion, and Gabriel Garcia with Traditions Oil and Lube, and that's toward the end of the month. Ribbon cutting's coming up. We've got one today, MDX Bio. That's on Imperial Loop in College Station, 4:30 to 5. That's free. Come by and celebrate our ribbon cutting with them. Tomorrow we have one, 4:30 to 5. Sometimes Spouse BCS. That's on Villa Maria Road in Bryan. And then Thursday, three in a row, 4:30 to 5, Minute Coffee on North Point Crossing. Everyone come out and celebrate these businesses with us. As always, we want to celebrate our inner circle, Platinum Member Spotlight, which is TAMU Marketing and Communications. We appreciate everything they do for the Chamber.
All right, very good. Thanks for the time this
morning.
Scott. Yep, visit with folks in the Chamber on Tuesdays. And we remind you, we've moved the Humane Society to another day, so they'll be with us, but it'll be later this week. And that's our community segment on News Talk 1620 WTAW.
What's the difference between getting your license and becoming a safe driver? At Safeway Driving, no, it's the number of hours spent training behind the wheel. That's why we offer a variety of packages to train drivers of all skill levels. Getting a license is not a rite of passage. It's a learned skill, and just like any other skill, it takes hours of practice to hone. It's time to take your driver training seriously and take it with Safeway Driving. To get on the road to safe driving, go to SafewayDriving.com or call 844-DRIVE-SAFE. That's 844-374-8372.
The Bush Presidential Library and Museum and KBTX-TV present a KWTX News 10 documentary called We Can't Forget Vietnam on February the 9th at 6:30 at the Annenberg Presidential Conference Center. There will be a discussion panel featuring retired General Barry McCaffrey, retired Lieutenant General Paul Funk, and journalist David Burnett. Visit bush41.org and click on the events tab to make reservations.
It's News Talk 1620, WTAW, the Infomaniac. It's 10 minutes till. We are in the WC Tractor award-winning studios. You know, they're your local Kubota and New Holland dealer in Bryan and Navasota. Okay, get a chance to relax here for a second. College Station's all-time record low of 3 degrees below zero.
Ooh.
Set on this date back in 1949.
And it's going to be 76 today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Is that something? Records go back to 1901, so it may have been colder than that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But today is supposed to be the day when it's really, 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 really cold. And it's not, so we like that. All right, let's see what else is going on. NBC's hit show Law & Order Drive My SVU is reportedly working on an episode which was inspired by the Roger Ailes Gretchen Carlson, this old sexual harassment thing.
Oh,
from
really?
Fox. So yeah, that will be coming up.
Apparently. I know they like to do that, where they take real live stories and stuff like that and make them into episodes, you know,
and lightly veiled usually.
Yeah.
Apparently that's. But I mean, that's right out of the TV business, the TV world. And I guess as long as it's not their network, then they feel like it's okay that they could do it if it were in their network.
How do they avoid catching flack for
that? Well, we'll see how lightly veiled it is.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Yeah. He's driving that Lincoln.
Yeah, he is. So he's in this latest movie called Gold. He had to pack on 50 pounds.
Wow.
50 pounds for his starring role. And his wife said she didn't mind a bit. She said, he's much more fun when he's fat. Well, okay then. He got that going on for you.
So, yeah, he was like, I'm a lot cooler now that
that's,
I do.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Our job here has very little stress. We do have some time management we have to take care of, but it's not stressful. So they put together the least stressful jobs, according to Forbes, of 2017. And again, they may have been in previous lists too. We just know that they are in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 is medical laboratory technician. Number 9 is pharmacy technician.
What are we talking about?
These would be the least stressful jobs.
Oh, least stressful. Okay.
Number 8 is operations research analyst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll get you the report tomorrow.
Yeah.
Number 7, a jeweler.
Okay. Really?
I thought we said that was one of the most high stress positions.
Well, I think right around this time of year, you'd think it would be, right?
Yeah. Valentine's Day?
Yeah, anytime, really, because you're dealing with high-dollar equipment, and it's very intricate stuff.
Okay. But no one's going to die.
Now, look at that. Okay, now, all right, no one's going to die. Number 6 is medical records technician.
Whoa.
Yeah, somebody could die.
Yeah, that okay.
I want somebody putting a little bit of stress into that work right there.
Number 5, we can all agree, a tenured university professor.
Oh, yeah.
That would be number
about.
1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, and number 6.
Yeah, I've got a TA for that.
Yeah. Number 4 is audiologist. Number 3 is a hairstylist.
Ooh,
really?
That's
Okay.
All right.
Screw up their hair one time and see how that stress works out. Number two is a compliance officer, and number one is a diagnostic medical stenographer.
Okay.
All right.
Nobody in the medical field should be not stressed.
Yeah.
You should definitely.
You'd think so. Anyway, so that's from Forbes, so I'm not sure exactly what to make of that. Pittsburgh. A Pittsburgh man has started an online petition to rename the Pittsburgh International Airport after
Donald Trump.
Mr. Rogers.
Oh.
Oh.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Hell.
Okay.
Is he from Pittsburgh?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
His show started in Pittsburgh.
All right.
Everybody put on your sweaters and we'll lay in the airplane.
Yeah,
right?
That's cute.
Yeah, why not? So babies born in New Jersey this year will go home in a sturdy safe box to sleep in and additional newborn essentials, all free. Late last week, the state became the first in U.S. America to launch a universal baby box program in an attempt to reduce infant mortality. CNN says the New Jersey baby box program gives new parents and expecting parents a box that's filled with newborn essentials.
I heard about this.
Box doubles as a safe place for baby to sleep.
Wow.
If it's in Chicago, it'd need to be bulletproof.
Yeah.
Just saying. Anyway, and the box is, I know, I'm sorry.
No.
The goal of that is to, the program is to reduce SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. So, well, I hope that works.
Okay. Yeah. Here, United Way of the Brazos Valley does baby bundles.
Okay.
So that you don't get a box, but you do get a bundle full of newborn things.
Essentials.
Yes, that are used also to encourage early literacy.
Oh.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Like that idea just
but yeah,
fine.
Every baby that's born gets one.
Okay. Ratings were just slightly down for this year's edition of the Miss Universe pageant with 5.2 million viewers checking out
I don't even see advertisement for
no,
that.
No, I don't
and
either.
And I watch TV.
Yep.
And I don't even see commercials for when that comes on.
Yeah. That was 5.2 million. Hello?
Hey, I'm almost 60, and sometimes I wonder how my generation managed to survive being an infant without the government helping us.
You're exactly right. You probably drank out of a garden hose, didn't you?
Once or twice.
Yeah, see, I know. Yes, it's scary. Thank you. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And then, and stuck it on your head. And
through the sprinkler and then you stick your face in it.
When I was in football in middle school, they used to make us drink out of the PVC pipe that was watering the grass.
That's right.
Like, you would take a drink out of the hole that you were drinking out of, and then you back up and a little spider would crawl out of
it. Yeah, sure. Hey,
just keep going. Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
Do what you have to. That's all there is to it.
To survive.
Yeah.
Miracles do happen, and here's proof. The staff at the William Carey University in Mississippi started cleaning up after a 150-mile-an-hour tornado hit their town last week. Entering the chapel on the grounds of the school, they found a Bible still in place and open to Psalm 46, which reads, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." That's pretty weird.
That is weird.
That's pretty weird. Anyway, so who knew that squirrels had... I saw a bit the other day about a rat wanting to be a squirrel. It was an animation thing, and they're going, "See, look. Why can't have?" They said it's all about the tail. It's all about the tail.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He puts like cotton balls together on his tail to look like a squirrel, you know. And it worked at least for a little while until I think it rained and then it got wet and it got nasty.
Soggy tail.
That's right. So anyway, amateur photographer Marin Docker, he's 47. Of the Isle of Dogs in East London, grabbed some amazing shots of a really bad squirrel doing a throwdown in his own backyard.
Ooh.
Pictures are action-packed in what appears to be a kick, judo-style punch, even some wrestling moves thrown in. It's out there on the website. Just go out on the web. Just go out there and look for
like
squirrel in East London. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking like a squirrel wrestling match.
I don't know. I'll
like
have
there
to,
were multiple squirrels.
I'll have to go look.
A squirrel quarrel.
Yeah. Squirrel quarrel. What makes Steph Curry so dang good as a basketball player? Well.
He puts the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I was going to say. He makes points.
His wife, Aisha, tells Bon Appetit magazine that she makes him the same pasta and sauce before every game.
Wow.
That probably does it.
Is all about the carbs. The missus, who has her own show on the Food Network, of course.
Oh, I didn't know she.
Big believer in spending family time together at the dinner table and calls it a dying thing. She's right.
Yeah.
And says it is her mission to keep it alive.
Cool.
So
good for
there
her.
There you are. And he gets to eat the same pasta every time.
They play a lot of games, too.
They do. Yeah.
Do you think he gets it like a
on the road?
Does
he take it on the road?
Yeah.
She gives him the Tupperware. Yeah,
right.
He climbs off the Charter 737 with a Tupperware. Right.
Yep.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
if it works.
Yep. Tucked under his $1,000 suit. Well,
carb
it has.
Up.
Yeah, it has worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Low back pain. Mm-hmm. We know about that for adults. Oh, yeah. Well, now there's new research that suggests that children experience this condition as well.
Oh no!
Children and low back pain. Study published, and it's online today, the Journal of the American Medical Association, low back pain in school-age children becomes increasingly common the older the kiddo gets. By age 7, CBS News says about 1% of children experience low back pain. That number jumps to 6% by age of 10, and 18% by the time the child is 16 years old.
Wow. I had surgery on my lower back, so I...
Ow!
Oh, man. That's,
ow!
Too much sitting. These children are sitting too much.
Man, that's not a good thing. Stretch it out.
Always a good thing. Go run around.
Yeah, or
Go play with the squirrel.
Or you'll blow out a disc.
Go drink out of a water hose.
That's right. Play with a squirrel in the backyard, okay? 1930, we mentioned today, 3M introduced Scotch tape.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, it's not a good reason that it's called Scotch. Just letting you know. 1990, the first McDonald's opened in Moscow.
Oh.
Did we need that? I don't know.
Okay,
1992, we heard about Keith. I told you about cleaning the windows.
Mm-hmm.
2002, a large section of the Antarctic Larsen ice shelf disintegrated.
Ooh,
in a 35-day period.
Global warming.
And Avatar became the first movie to gross over $2 billion worldwide.
All right.
All right, we're back tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock, WTAW, College Station Friday.